The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Testing, testing. Okay, everything's working. Very cool. This is Richard Quigley making my return after that long week off. For some reason, they decided, I guess, I wasn't qualified to handle the equipment Thanksgiving Day, which is fine with me. I did. We did miss out on the Thanks But No Thanks Award for 2003, but I'll do that next year, and I'll figure out how to slip it in the Thursday before Thanksgiving. Rather than save it for the big day, I probably wouldn't have done anything except wipe out a bunch of people's sense of holiday anyway, the mood I was in. As it worked out, Thursday ended up being the first day of six of my own personal Survivor series, speaking of Survivor. So, oh, yeah, you guys have been watching that this year, right? This is a great show. Anyway, that flu that's going around that everybody's been talking about, let me tell you, that is one hell of a flu. It is really something. Took me down on Thursday, and it got so rough through the weekend that this morning I woke up feeling better. I felt so good this morning. I felt better than I thought I would ever feel again while that flu was going on. What a nightmare experience that thing is. I'm the other side of it. It's all done. I think I would have preferred the shot, as much as I hate needles. I think I would have preferred the shot. So, God bless you folks. I hope you don't get it. It is not one of those things, bragging point. It's not something you want to come out the other side of and be able to brag about. I'm not tickled that I got it. But that's all over with. So, the next Thursday show that's in question, by the way, is going to be on the 25th of December. And I don't know what the station does on my birthday. But 25th of December will be my big 6-0. I'm guessing that if the sun's shining, that's just as well with me if they're playing Christmas songs for you guys, because I'll take a motorcycle ride and go up and see my kid up in Sacramento. And otherwise, I may very well be down here and talk about me and Jesus Christ and Jimmy Buffett. I'll celebrate our birthday on the 25th of December. But we won't know what happens with that. No, and I got to correct Rosie about one thing. I have never wanted to be anyone or anything other than who I am. I'm very happy being my normal, you know, Richard Quigley self. But I have thought about, been forced to. What would it be like to be a lesbian? Whether or not I'd want to be a lesbian. And I'm going to get that in a minute, and I'll give you, there's a reason why she got that hint. That's pretty funny. I have a song I'm going to play for you in a bit. Anyway, I'm glad I wrote this down today. Mrs. Z did it again, out of the park. Yes, ma'am, I do not understand myself as a 30-year detoxed alcoholic. I have never understood why it is that it makes more sense for people to do alcohol than pot. Sometimes I wish I was a little bit more socially acceptable so I could sit around and exchange ideas with Mrs. E. More than I do. She is one brilliant female. Quite something. And one last thing before I get into what I got planned for today. And that is, I walked in today. And one of the things I was muttering was about that nonsense last night on television. I'm watching, I think it was CBS, and they're doing the 11 o'clock news locally, and they're talking about running around arresting all these Hell's Angel Motorcycle Club members. And I'm just, it's like, come on, folks. How politically correct do we have to get? Are we really that messed up that we have allowed a bunch of gangsters, I'm talking about gangsters, hardcore gangsters, to back off and consider what they do club activity? And if we're going to open club activity to dealing drugs and having turf wars, you know, killing one another over who gets to sell the most drugs in this turf, the word has no meaning. I mean, the Elks can no longer be a club. The Rotarians most certainly can't be a club. I mean, good Lord. The Hells Angels are a motorcycle gang, folks. They're a motorcycle gang. Don't buy the ploy. And in the name of political correctness, it blows my mind. And in my humble opinion is, if I could have such a thing, there are 500,000 motorcycle riders in California that do not have a choice as to whether or not they can, how to dress when they leave the house. Because some legislator named Dick Floyd up in Sacramento decided it was time for him to take some of the salt out of these Hells Angels gang members. And he used the rage that people have against the activity of motorcycle gangs to convince the legislature that there was no reason to protect the rights of gangs and gangsters. And so all the motorcycle riders in California lose our right to figure out how to dress ourselves. And now we come back in the year 2003, and we're going to talk about these guys like they're a little social club. No way, Jose. I'm not talking about Jose, but no way, Jose. No. Hell's Angel, they're a motorcycle gang. And if you don't believe it, you cross them. I mean, I'm sitting here right now. There's a real good possibility that I have said enough, that I'll have them boys rolling up on me. They could very well just pound the living hell out of me. You may wake up one day and read about me being dead in a ditch somewhere because I dare tell the truth about what those people do. But the truth is the truth. I don't make it. I just report it. Hells Angels are a motorcycle gang. Now, with that said, for all it entails, ridiculous. Talk about stupid stuff. There's a police report filed by a sheriff's office on Tuesday in which they allege all kinds of weird stuff about me. Very interesting police report. And it got me to thinking. You know, that thing that's been going down there in that shopping center in Aptos that I talk about from time to time on this show, people get upset with because I talk about from time to time on this show. I'm going to put this, by the way, this is KSCO, 479-1080, 477-1340 are the call-in lines. If you want to take a hit from the blind side, go ahead and fax me at 475-2967. If you write big enough, I'll be sure and read it over the air, unless you don't want it read over the air, and then I'll take the threat personally, and I'm not worried about it. I've always said that if these guys decide they're going to kill me for what I do, then I'm dead. I won't have much to do, won't have much to worry about. And if they don't kill me, then I'll have a brand new focus for my obsessive personality. So it's just not something. I don't live in fear. I believe that fear and freedom are canceling. Fear cancels freedom. To the degree that you are made fearful, you are made unfree. And unless your name is Scott, in which case you're always free, even when you're not. So, in any case, and I hope everybody did have a good Turkey Day. Thanksgiving's always been my favorite holiday. Thanksgiving is, and I'm going to get back to what I do want to do for my show, but I want to share a little bit with you about my perspectives on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday. I much prefer it to Christmas. Christmas, I think, is a terrible holiday. I remember one day sitting in a car dealership years ago when I used to do that for a living down there at Santa Cruz Dodson Dodge, and a guy came to me, and I'm sitting there at the desk working on something, and, of course, he was like most car salesmen. He thought that their work was to sit there and stare out the window, so he was bored. And I was lining up the people I were going to talk to about buying cars. And he walks up to me and he wants to chat with me because, of course, he hasn't got anything to do. And he asked me how I felt about Christmas season and everything. I said, you don't want to know. No, I'd really like to know how you feel about Christmas. I said, I think Christmas sucks. I think it's a terrible holiday. Thanksgiving is the holiday. Thanksgiving is a day when families get together and they sit and they feast and they watch football and they gossip and they chat and they drink and they have a wonderful time. And if you can make it, you can make it. And if you can't, you don't. And there's no guilt. There's no unreasonable expectations. Life is absolutely magnificent. Thanksgiving is the consummate, wonderful holiday. Christmas, on the other hand, is one of those days when you are expected to show up everywhere. If you have family, every single family member that you do not show up at their place on Christmas, or you do not call, or you do not send a card, or you do not get a gift, there are more ways to be beaten up for being neglectful on Christmas than there are ways to enjoy it. It's just pound, 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 pound. And it is a horrible holiday. All the unmet expectations, all that stuff. And this guy looks at me, he says, well, that's negative. He said, that's the most negative view I ever heard. He says, I absolutely hate negativity. And I sat there and I looked at him. And I said, you know, I believe, sir, that you have made the ultimate negative statement. I don't believe that there is on the planet a more negative statement than I absolutely hate negativity. And went back to work. I sold 28 cars that month. He starved. Now, back to my who are we to judge. I find myself in a position of trying to figure out what it is about me that seems to irritate some folks. And I've never really cared except when it becomes inconvenient. And one of the inconveniences is I start having criminal complaints made against me. I mean, for not committing a crime, but for being who I am, I start thinking, well, okay, just exactly what is it? And now don't start flooding the boards by calling in and explaining all the reasons that you hate me. I don't care. But I'm just trying to sort it out. I'm trying to understand the process. I don't really care. But in thinking through the process, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm the victim of heterophobia. I mean, I never understood why homophobia, the word homophobia, became akin to a bigotry against homosexuals, for one thing. Because phobia is a very clear scientific term. Phobia is an unreasonable fear of blah, blah, whatever comes in front of the phobia. And I don't know anybody that has any fear at all. In the normal context in which I hear homophobia used, I don't hear referencing people that are demonstrating fear. I see it against people that are demonstrating a bias against, which I don't have, by the way, but, you know, just saying it never proves it. It's just, I've said it. So I'm thinking about maybe that's what it is. Maybe that I'm just too much of a man. Maybe I just have been feminized enough. Maybe I have become sensitive enough. Maybe I have become so little of a man that I'm to be hated for it. And so therefore I'm justifiably, you know, the object of heterophobia. So I go back and I'm thinking, okay, if that's true, if I'm a victim of heterophobia, how do I act against that? How do I work against heterophobia without becoming an anti-homosexual or an anti-homophobic? The whole idea of bigotry to me has always been self-defeating. You know, it takes a bigot to know one. When somebody calls somebody a bigot, what they have done is they have just singled someone out on their belief system. And then they don't like them because of it. So that in order to label somebody a bigot, you have to be one. In order to act out on somebody because they're a bigot, you have to be one. You have to be an anti-bigot bigot. How come we can't just quit this judgment stuff? What is with this judgment stuff? What makes one person so much better or worse than another that they can stand in judgment and say, you have a right to be here, you don't have a right to be here? I mean, where do these ticket takers come from? And that is at the root of what's going on down there at that shopping center in Aptos. That is the root of the problem down there in that Aptos shopping center. Now, Mr. Henry, who is being they're beating him to death. And by the way, he is not only the suspect in these crimes that they're alleging against me down there, but one of the things that he's accused of saying is that they're anti. Those people down there are homophobic. And that is not what he's saying. They're not listening to him. That's the problem with people. They don't listen to Mr. Henry because he has been ruled one of those folks that his opinion has no value. They don't want to listen to him. But what he's saying is hobophobic. Hobo, H-O-B-O, phobic. He talks about that sheriff's center down there as a hobophobic center. It is their job to run off the riffraff. And about that, there could be no argument. They actually do. We got a weird reach thing going on in the studio. And move all the way across the room to push a button. Anyway, I want to talk with you guys about this thing about what makes one person justified in judging another. I want to know where that comes from. I want to know so that I can help encourage people to surrender that desire to do that and see if we can't learn to live a little bit better with one another, have a little bit more fun with our life, and take ourselves and our ideals, and not our ideals, but our perception of how things should be a little less seriously and start to appreciate more of the value of other human beings on the planet. And with that in mind, I brought in a little song today. Just, you know, mind candy, the kind of stuff people think about when they're not paying attention to what they're thinking.
Okay, I'm riding around in this car, this woman that I'm close to a couple times a week. I'm noticing she's looking out of the window and noticing other women. How this one looks, isn't her hair lovely? What a nice outfit. I said, babe, what is the deal? You're noticing all these other chicks. Maybe you're a lesbian. She looks at me and she says, I wish I was a lesbian. Now, at that point, I wanted to say, you mean you wish you were a lesbian? Because grammatically, but I let it slide. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers. But you know, that retort, I wish I was a lesbian, it's kind of stuck in the old Lalo's mind. Kind of gestated there for 7-8 minutes. And this tune popped out. I wish I was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wouldn't have to mess with men and all their come and go and all that awful facial hair and yucky machismo. I wish I was a lesbian and not a hetero. I wish I was a lesbian and that I wasn't straight. I would sleep with women only. Man, it would be great. I could throw away my diaphragm. I wouldn't want to make. Oh, I wish I was a lesbian and that I wasn't straight. Hey! I wish I was a lesbian, I'd like to be a dyke. I would hang with Katie Lang, Mel Gibson, take a hike. I think it would be nice to love someone who was alike. Oh, I wish I was a lesbian, I'd like to be a dyke. I wish I was a lesbian, that's why this song is sung. It shouldn't have to matter how someone is hung. Other things are more important, like how to use your tongue. I wish I was a lesbian, that's why this song is sung. Dare Casey Kasem to play this.
Okay. Well, that's about enough of that. Loudon Wainwright the third.
I know it's bad,
but yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pull it out. But come on now. See, this is more in tune with a reasonable thing. There's probably people out there are going to take offense, and that's fine. Take whatever you want. You know, you can take offense, you can take a yard. It doesn't make any difference. One of the things about judgment is that ultimately what people judge is somebody else's motive. Not so much, not the behavior itself. I mean, unless it's a shot upside the head. The shot upside the head can irritate you because of the pain. But other behavior that gets judged is generally judged from the perspective of the judge, the judging party, the one that wants to pass the judgment. In other words, the way I see it, and the way that the sages see it, I think, I'm told, is that one person looks at the behavior of the other person and they decide that the behavior of the second person is unacceptable. They decide to judge the behavior. When they attempt to judge the behavior, what they do is they can't really do the behavior. They have to go to the motive. And since you can never know why anybody does anything, I mean, the closest that you can ever come to understanding why, for example, I do what I do, you call me, you ask me. And I will explain my understanding of my behavior to you, which you will understand from your perspective, so that the closest that you ever get to understanding somebody else's reason for their behavior, their motive, is your understanding of their explanation of their understanding from your perspective, which means that the whole foundation of judging behavior beyond acceptable, unacceptable, when we're talking about in realms of right and wrong, is off the ticket. You can't do it. It's just not there. Math doesn't work out. The science doesn't work out. I mean, you could do it, but it has no foundation in reality. You've made all these decisions about why these terrible people do what they do, mostly based on projection. When I get to the heart of why people interpret the behavior of people around them, and they say, he does that because, I start listening real close, because it's telling me why the person that is telling me where this behavior comes from would be exercising that behavior. It doesn't tell me why the person that is acting is doing what they're doing. You get what I'm saying here? I mean, I don't want to lose you in that loop, because it's a real important one, because this judgment thing is eating us alive. It is the foundation of this liberal fascism. It is the reason that we cannot accept one another. It is tearing the heart out of this community. It is hurting us not to get along. So let's let go of this judging other people thing. Let's start enjoying the fact that other folks are different from ourselves. See if we can't find some way to improve our own lives by sharing some of their perspectives and understandings. And if somebody's acting in an odd way, in a way that we can't understand, why don't we approach them without interfering with the freedom to be left alone? But just from a matter of curiosity, ask them. And it's hard, because when you ask somebody why they do something, the first thing they want to do is try to justify it. And the most difficult thing that I find about communicating with people that level is when I try to ask them why they're doing something, they immediately get defensive. And it's not a matter of that for me. I'm just trying to understand it, because if I can accept the reason that they're doing it, I might exhibit the same behavior. But I think folks realize when they're doing this whole judgment thing that they're wrong going in. So they sit there and they start this whole defense thing. Well, we've run past the time when I'm supposed to do it, so I'll go ahead and start the commercials now. I'll be back in just a couple. Well, welcome back. We'll finish this thing up in good shape, I'll bet. Thank you, James. Okay. Judgmental claptrap. This is KSCO AM 1080. This is Talk Radio. Richard Quigley doing my little United States Freedom Fighter Forum. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. Fax me if you like, 475-2967. I've been talking about judgments, passing judgment, judgmental jerks of all kinds, without passing judgment. Trying to understand, just trying to understand. And looks like Mike's called in from Carmel, line 4, and see if he can tell me anything I don't know about judgmental jerks. Mike, hello.
Oh, hi, Richard. How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm trying to walk a fine line here, my friend.
You know, you sound a little bit like Larry the Cable Guy. Are you familiar with that comedian?
No.
Okay, well, when you hear Larry the Cable, you'll understand he's a great comedian.
But is he funny?
He is excellent.
Okay, if he's funny, I'm working on being funny, but I had the flu.
Well, he does this routine about his sister's moles. You'll like that one.
Okay, I'll look him up on the internet, see if I can find any MP3s floating around up there.
Anyway, what I wanted to point out is I wonder if what you're talking about really in your discussion of judgmentalism is really poor judgment versus hasty judgment or stereotypical type judgment.
Well, no, you know, I think the whole thing starts when people start to set themselves above one another. I really think that's what it is more than anything. I think that if you have someone, if you come from the space that you understand that you are no better or worse by grant of God or anyone else than the person next to you, then Your acceptance of who and what they are is off the scale. But as soon as you set yourself out as better, all of a sudden, then you get to justify that by establishing and passing judgment on why it is that they're worse. And the problem with that seems people seem to get caught up in that. And this is just off the top of my head. I could be wrong, and when I get done here, Mike, I'm going to give you a chance to straighten me out. But it seems to me that's the problem. And once people start down that road, then their self-image, their self-esteem, their self-sense of self-worth becomes contingent on their ability to remain, at least in their own eye, superior to those people over whom they pass judgment. You get what I'm talking about?
Well, I think it's only human nature for people to judge other people. And I think it's the degree and the importance you place upon it where you get into trouble.
Yeah, go into that a little further for me.
Well, I mean, like I say, it's natural for people to judge each other.
First of all, yes, we are.
I think it has a lot to do. What you're saying is, I think it's very important that people have enough of a sense of their own value that they don't really need to care or be overly concerned about whether other people think about them. But it's natural for people to do so. So there's a balance there. There's sort of a static zone that you walk through where whether you allow other people's judgment to affect your own judgment of yourself, to which you do.
Right. And that has to do with psychological well-being of an individual. And that's an area where, again, I don't feel qualified to go down that road because I'm not the resident expert on the human psyche.
Well, what I see in our society, is there's too much, what would you call anti-judgmentalism? In other words, we have like sexual predators running around in our society, and because everybody, because courts and various communities say, well, you know, let's give them a chance. They serve their time or whatever. People want to suspend their judgment, and there's very strong movement among what I would term as the more liberal or collectivist thinking people not to be judgmental, certainly of their own kinds of behavior. But like, so there's a lot of hypocrisy when you get into the subject.
Boy, you strapped this hour down to where it's going to be a whole lot shorter than it needs to be to get that subject covered. And you're absolutely right. Yes, there are several dynamics at work here. And one of the things I like to point at while you're talking about that is that it is exactly those progressives, is it exactly that liberal point of view that I deem responsible for most of this, and I lump it into that, what I call liberal fascism. If I go ahead and call it yuppie scumism, I get in trouble because all of a sudden I'm being irreverent to yuppies, and Lord knows they got all the money. But it is a liberal fascism. It is coming from the left. This new fascism, this new move against people that don't look and act right, and empowering the government to deal with them, is coming from the left. It's not coming from the right.
Well, I see some of it on both sides, but my opinion on this is that there's more unrealistic expectations of behavior on the left than on the right, and that may be because people on the right, want to be able to do their own thing, and they don't want somebody to come along and structure the behavior. But there's opinions on behavior on both sides of the fence. But I think this is the key here, is that people have unrealistic expectations of others. For example, the whole Soviet Union was built on the unrealistic expectation of human nature. You could have never had the Soviet Union if the people who set up the revolution didn't expect people to change their very inner behavior, their inner desires and wants and goals in life.
So, Mike, I thank you for the call, I'm not brushing you off, but you just lit a light at me, and I'm going to talk about it for about 2 minutes so it can set in my head, and I hope you call again. Thank you very much
That's
for
fine.
Calling today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, while he was describing that, the thing that occurred to me was the herd of sheep, and I think I finally got it. I think I finally got how that liberal fascism spokes in my mind. It is that collective think that sheep have, that herd of sheep that move in a wad. And every time one of those sheep strays away from the wad, you got that liberal fascist out there barking them back into the herd so that the herd stays as one wad. And I'm going to work on that between now and the next time we talk, because there's something in there. Talk about something in there in Russia. There's a Russian sitting out here in front of the office that's looking for Republican signatures, I think, on a petition today that I'm going to sign. But I'm going to talk to Asa right now, because Asa's there, and I like Asa. Asa's my favorite. Hey, how you doing, sweetheart?
Well, I was doing fine. I just want to tell you, my experience with this whole thing goes back to having had very personal, two personal things. One, I had two boys, one of whom should have been a judge, professionally instead of just amateurly, and the other one who is the born sinner. But the two of them, Cain and Abel, lived in my house for a long time. Now they live apart, but they've never gotten over it, and they've grown up. I just don't understand how they stayed that way so long. An epiphany would have to happen to either one of them to change. They were born that way.
Asa, I doubt seriously that Cain and Abel would, but I hear what you're saying. They're opposite, but they're not Cain and Abel. But go ahead.
Well, anyway, the other one is that when I became a libertarian, the hardest thing that I had to do was to figure out that I could do anything I wanted to do without hurting anybody, but it was those other people that were doing all the trouble. And so every time I ran into that thought myself, it was the hardest thing that I had to deal with. I thought, well, now it's pretty easy for me to give myself freedom, but this giving freedom to everybody else, that's a problem. So... Yes.
You know, Subnation, the reason that I love you is because you hold those kinds of perspectives for me. And yes, ma'am, that is the difficulty with being free, is letting other people be free.
It's almost a pursuit, and it's what makes the politics so hard, because there are these people who cannot, who want to legislate.
Yes.
Their dictatorialness on everybody else.
Yep, run everybody.
That makes it evil. I truly think it's evil.
Yes, absolutely. And if there were such a thing, and I've always been a firm believer that there ultimately is no such thing as evil, but to the degree that I will accept the concept does exist, you're absolutely right again. It's so good to hear from you.
I'm glad you brought it up.
And I'll be looking forward to talking to you, or at least I know you'll be out there next week if you don't call. Thanks much, dear.
Okay. God bless.
Oh, Ace always makes my day when I come down here. I want to know, we're not that Russian out there, is looking for just my Republican signature, or he needs more than one Republican signature today. Now, he's just down to get my signature. Okay. Well, we're up. We still got a couple minutes left. I did manage to run off all the callers, but that's okay. I can live with that. Yeah, I've got that picture in my head now, and I'm pretty much distracted by it. I've got that. I think I've got a way to I'm going to have a way the next time I bring up liberal fascism to describe it, and we're going to handle it. The bottom line of today's show is that what's going on down in the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center is a, I think they call a microcosm of what's going on in this county, which is a microcosm of what's going on in this state, which if we don't do something somewhere to prevent it, is going to become a microcosm of what happens to this great country. And then we have nothing, no thing of value left to give to our children. We have nothing. We had everything, folks. We had everything. People that came in my age group, were in the 1940s, the guys that were born in the 40s, we came into a world where we did have abundance. We had everything. And we have managed to sleep through it, to work through it, to whatever through it, to the point that it's going away. And if we don't stop it with the little bites, you're going to end up eating the entire meal. And it's too beautiful a concept. This nation that we put together is too beautifully foundation to allow that to happen. Robert, on line one from Santa Cruz, did I cut you off, Robert? I'm trying to get you. Did I cut you off? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, talk to me.
Hey, well, listen, I'm glad you're raising this subject, which I was really shocked to read about yesterday. I saw the same police report you did. But I'm just wondering what you think people can do. I'm a rather judgmental person myself, by the way, and I strongly judge agents of the police department and the courts who have more power and who are misusing it. I actually think that's an appropriate use of the judging power.
Well, yeah, that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do that. No, I'm not talking about that, man. I'm not talking about acquiescing our responsibility by any stretch. No, we need to do our responsibility. And our responsibility is to make sure that we've got something to pass along, and we got 15 seconds.
Well,
I know you're looking at your clock and wondering what I'm doing, but trust me, we got 15 seconds.
Hey, we'll raise it next program. I appreciate you bringing it up. Thanks.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much for the call. That's Robert Norris. He's a hardworking guy down there in Santa Cruz trying to get people to stop looking at these types of things with folks and making a little room for everybody, a little more room on the planet. Well, we've done another Thursday. I feel good about it. Like I said, I woke up this morning just glad to be alive. So I'm going to leave you with my normal closeout music. I got another little ditty to drop on you at the end of this. So out of here.
Talking to this guy, and he points out to you that he doesn't like this that you've done and that you've done and the other that you've done. And you accept it and you say to yourself, hey, after all, I'm not perfect, am I? And you start to think about it and you get a little bit upset. You look at him, you say, you know, who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? And he says, why, I'm Judge Johnson of Superior Court, and you're going to prison. That's a lot like life, isn't it? That's a lot like life, isn't it? Just when we're getting to know each other, it's time to say goodbye.
This is KSCO, 1080 Santa Cruz, 1 o'clock.